Would you turn to the 12th chapter of Isaiah, if you're following in the Bible? I just want to look at the first two or three verses of Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah begins chapter 12, and we know the chapters and verses were added a considerable period of time after Isaiah wrote them. He begins chapter 12 by saying, "And in that day," which day? Presumably, the day to which he has already been referring. In fact, he's referred, I think, to a number of days in chapter 11 and before. But specifically, I think he's referring here to that day in which the banner for the nations will be erected. When the great message of salvation, what we call the gospel, will be clear both to Jew and to Gentile, and whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He is writing the first part of chapter 12 to people, both Jew and Gentile, who have called upon him for salvation. And in that day you will say, "O Lord, I will praise you. Though you are angry with me, your anger is turned away." Now, why on earth would the Lord be angry? And of course we know that a righteous God cannot but be angered by sin and iniquity. A corrupt judge can wink at it, or turn a blind eye, can cover it up, or ignore it. But a righteous God, who sees into the very darkest corners of the heart, sees what goes on in government, sees what goes on in private households, sees what goes on among the nations, he is angry by the sin. I'm thinking of examples in the news quite recently. Allegations of torture going on in Ukraine, in occupied territory. It's one thing, perhaps, to fight a war, but to torture people. Now, if I am coloured and clouded by sin, and I am angry by that, how much more a just and perfect God? And that is just one example that happens to have received publicity. Now, of course, he says, though you were angry with me, I haven't tortured anyone, I've not murdered anyone. And yet there is a stench in my heart. I haven't murdered, but I have hated. I haven't committed adultery, but I have lusted. Though you were angry with me, God has every right to be angry with me. If he were not angry, he would be a pagan idol. They're never angry. They never get upset. They're never appalled by what goes on in front of them. But a real, living, righteous God is. And yet Isaiah goes on, though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away. Well, what on earth can turn away the anger of God? Some people are angry because of the mood they're in. Not with our God. He doesn't have angry days and sad days and happy days. And, you know, you've got to look at his expression in the morning to work out how he'll react in the afternoon. He is not like that. This is not just a fleeting emotion or a paddy, a peak or a tantrum. This is a just and intelligent response to evil. And yet the anger has been turned away. In fact, he goes further. Not only is the anger turned away, a negative removed, but you comfort me, a positive given. And in that day, of course, we know this banner is going to be put up for the nations and for the Jew. He will raise up a banner for the nations. Now, we know, of course, and that Isaiah may have seen all of this. He may not have fully understood it, put it all together. He may not have been able to write a systematic theology such as we might have on our shelves. But Isaiah, of course, is seeing the fruit of Calvary. We know that when the Lord Jesus hung upon that cross, the anger of God, which was quite rightfully ours, we had kindled it, we had stoked it, we had fueled it, was spent upon the Saviour. The wrath of God, which was ours, was outpoured on him. And so the angry God is angry no more, and he in fact becomes a comforter. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. And yet, at the beginning of the chapter, it is God from whom we need saving. He is the one who is angry. He is the one who is the judge. He is the one who wishes to employ vengeance against evildoers. The one from whom we need saving is in fact the very source of our salvation. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. All the cults and the false religions around the world cannot say, God is my salvation. They'll tell you a particular ritual is your salvation, or you've got to do this, that will be your salvation. Pray long enough, and you might pray long enough to get that salvation. The believer can say, God is my salvation. It's he who bore the penalty for our sin upon the cross of Calvary. He did all the work. All we have to do is to trust and not be afraid. And if you are afraid of going to hell, you're not trusting God for your salvation. That is why, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must not be afraid of judgment and condemnation. Because we trust that when he was nailed to that cross, he paid the price in full, and that the Father accepted it. I will trust you and not be afraid, for Yah, the Lord, or Jehovah, is my strength and song. Interestingly, Isaiah here uses God's covenant personal name twice. I think really for emphasis here, salvation comes from God himself, from God himself. He's really underlining that. And that there would have been perhaps some pious Israelite or Jew in the time of Isaiah who was saying, well, you know, I am worshipping at the temple. I am offering sacrifice. This lamb will save me. No, it won't. It's God himself who will save you. It's God himself in whom you should trust. It's God himself who is the reason why you cannot be afraid. He is my strength and song. We might not feel very strong tonight, but we are. We are. Because God, Yah, the Lord, Jehovah, he is your strength. Furthermore, he is my song. We can sing. We can sing in the night time. We can sing in the daytime. We can sing to ourselves. We can sing in a group. The people of God are a singing people. Because God is our strength. And God himself is our salvation. He continues, he also has become my salvation. There's a real theme here, isn't there? God will save you. Not you. Not the temple. And Isaiah is broadening the remit here. It's not just salvation from these various foreign nations who are going to come upon the land of Judah. There is a far more terrifying enemy than Babylon or Nineveh. And that is my own justly deserved condemnation before the throne of a righteous God. And yet that righteous God has become my salvation. I shared with somebody the other night, some Jehovah's Witnesses came knocking on my door, and I asked them the question, which I know Tony Brown is fond of asking. And I said, okay, I'm about to have a heart attack. I've got 5 minutes to live. How do I get right with God? And one actually said, I don't know. And they don't. Because am I able to get baptized and start knocking on doors in that 5 minutes? No, I'm not. I suggested to her, the answer should have been, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. She went, oh yes, of course that. And yet, that never occurred to her. He has also become my salvation. But that is absolutely key and fundamental to biblical Christianity. God in Christ has become our salvation. And then finally in verse 3, therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Well, he seems to have changed the theme a little bit here. Therefore with joy you will draw water. Why do I want water? Remember, in a dry and thirsty land such as Judea, drawing water was perhaps more significant to them than putting on a tap is for us, or getting out an umbrella. But again, he is sticking to the same theme. From the wells of salvation. The picture here is that there are vast reservoirs of salvation, perhaps unseen to the eye, but from them one may draw freely and abundantly. And we might tie in that passage to the Lord Jesus, who said, I am the water of life. And the whole world is thirsty. And Jesus says, come unto me. And I paraphrase here, but he says, come to me and draw water, and you will never thirst again. Isaiah here, well, Isaiah, I remember at university, somebody saying Isaiah wrote the fifth gospel. You know, it's not the gospel of Thomas or anything like that. It's the gospel of Isaiah. He saw salvation coming. He saw his own prophecies being going to be fulfilled. He saw the Lord Jesus coming. And he writes here with anticipation, therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Amen.